Welcome to the Birthful Podcast. I'm Adriana Lozada, and today we're talking about the identity shift of becoming a mom. Have you considered what motherhood means to you and how you're going to integrate that with your current identity? How do you feel about the words sacrifice and devotion? Sophie McEntee is here to tell us why becoming a mom can be such a messy process and what you can do to prepare. Stay tuned. This episode of Birthful is brought to you by Simply Breastfeeding, a prenatal breastfeeding course to help nursing parents feel confident with their newborns. Learn more at birthful.com/simplybreastfeeding and use the code Birthful for 15% off. This episode of Birthful is also brought to you by Molecule, the only air purifier that actually destroys pollutants instead of just collecting some of them on a filter. For $75 off your first order, visit molecule.com and enter the code Birthful at checkout. The Birthful Podcast, talking to maternity pros and new parents to inform your intuition. Hello, mighty parents and parents-to-be. Thank you, as always, for all the love you give the show and your feedback, requests, ratings, reviews, and just your general support. If what you hear is helpful, you know what to do. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss a thing. And remember that you can also support this podcast by supporting its sponsors, which in this week's case are Molecule with a K and Simply Breastfeeding. And so, big, huge announcement today. I have officially revamped the Birthful Patreon page. Yay. This was definitely a long time coming. The Patreon page started as an experiment over 2 years ago, and now I definitely have a better idea of what I want it to become. If you get my newsletter with the show notes, you know that my word for 2019 is scaffolding, which means that this will be a year of fixing and upgrading and tweaking and just adjusting. So I should shift it. So I first shifted my focus to the Patreon page, and I simplified the rewards tiers to reflect the responses that I got from the survey that a lot of you filled out in January. The responses were super interesting, and it was exciting to learn that many of you have been listening to the show for more than a year. Like, thank you for sticking around and loving this content, because I truly appreciate that you do. One of the things that you clearly said you wanted in the survey was extra content. And so that's the first thing I'm focusing on with a Patreon page. So for example, with today's episode, I created a 2-page worksheet as a tool to help you define what it means to be a parent, be it a mom, a dad, whatever you would like to be called. So this worksheet is based on my conversation with Sophie and is available to all Patreon supporters. So that's going to be the extra content that relates to this episode that's going to go up today, or go up when I post the episode on the Patreon page as well. And then for the next following weeks, if you're looking to what's coming, what's that extra content going to be? So for the upcoming weeks, I have extra audio content interview with my guest. And I'm also planning on adding a short video with some of my own doula musings about recent births that I've been to, because that's something that you said you wanted. So I'm not going to be a stickler for like one extra thing a week. I'm going to hopefully get into a rhythm, and I'm just going to use that Patreon page to build community and slowly drift away from the Facebook group, which just Facebook just feels always is difficult to communicate. So I'm hoping this is going to be a way to really build this Birthful community into something that lives and thrives and give you more information and just have back and forth conversations of what you want. Hang out. So go check it out. Grab the companion mini worksheet for this episode today by becoming a Birthful Patreon supporter at patreon.com/birthful. All right. My renewed episode for today is with Sophie McEntee, as I mentioned, and we're going to be talking about the enormous transformation that happens during the identity shift of becoming a primary parent or mom. Let's get right to it. Sophie, welcome.
Thank you, Adriana. It's wonderful to be here.
Oh, so exciting. Now, tell us a little. We're going to be talking about the identity shift or that identity crisis of becoming a parent. But before we get into that, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm a practicing psychotherapist and a mom of a six-year-old daughter, and I co-founded a podcast and online resource for mothers called Honest Mamas. And I'm very passionate about the topic of mothering and specifically really interested in supporting moms on the motherhood journey, you know, their well-being, their psychological health, and their spiritual growth as well.
Mm-hmm. And Honest Mamas is a fabulous podcast resource. People listening, mighty ones out there. So if you like this one, I'm sure you'll like that one too. Go check it out. Yeah, we were being supportive of each other.
Yes, we were. And this is a fabulous podcast as well. And it was such a delight to see some of the overlap too in our shared passions and interests.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And since we love talking about this thing, we said, hey, let's get together and talk some more.
Yeah.
Now, so let's get to it. We both are moms, and I've experienced this. I wish somebody had told me when I was pregnant that, you know, my identity, I was going to have an identity crisis, the identity shift of becoming a parent, because I would have understood what I was going through so much better instead of fighting it, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, so much. So, let's talk about what is that about? What shifts in our identity when we become parents?
Yeah, it's a great topic of conversation. And I share that opinion too. If someone had just told me, you know, that this could happen, because I had a similar experience, I looked in the mirror and I didn't recognize myself. Mm. You know, it's really a time where an identity crisis can happen. And so to answer your question, I mean, you know, what shifts in our identity when we become parents or moms? It's like everything shifts. You know, that's the short answer. Everything really does shift. Who we understand ourselves to be, this question of who am I now? You know, the qualities that make us up as people. I mean, that's our identity, right? And when we have a baby, it just really resets that identity. Everything changes. You know, it's sort of like an existential, spiritual, psychological crisis happening all at once. And we can't really tend to it because, you know, when we become new parents, most of us know is that, you know, we hit the ground running, right? And we're really caring for that newborn. And that newborn requires our attention, at least initially anyway, 24/7. So the time we had to cultivate other parts of our identity and who we were before baby, I mean, that time and energy is no longer there initially. So it, you know, when those pieces of ourselves aren't being practiced and we're not living that life we had before baby arrives, we really start to wonder like, well, who am I? And we don't have the luxury of really diving into that question because we're busy changing diapers and feeding babies and being up at night. So, you know, an identity is also a role that's constantly fluid and changing, especially in relationship to our children. So, you know, it's ongoing. It's always shifting that identity as a mom or a parent.
Absolutely. And from my perspective as a doula, I've always had this notion, and I tell everybody who will listen, that birth has to be such an intense, you know, tectonic shifting event because you need a physical representation of that change that is occurring inside you. And I think if you see it that big of like, oh, physically, I can see how this is moving mountains. Wait a second. These moving of mountains are going to happen to my identity. Yeah, because it does. Like,
it does.
Every aspect of us changed. So why don't we break down a little bit of you know, what things change so that listeners out there have a more of a concrete idea of what this means. Because I really hate when people go like, oh, after you have a baby, nothing will ever be the same. Well, what does that nothing will ever be the same mean? Like, And I don't know if you'd like to break this down by like physically, mentally, emotionally, or if you have a better idea of how to break it down.
Sure, I can do it bit by bit here. Like, we can start with physically. I mean, there's the obvious physical transformation. It's a radical transformation. I mean, we're passing life through our bodies, and everything physically that changes in us in order to do that. And there's no going back. There's a lot of pressure, you know, and you know, the social discourse and dominant messages in media about going back, getting your body back, you know, returning to this really fit body. I think it's an incredible pressure on women and new moms, because really our bodies, how can they go back? How can they be the same again after such an intense transformation? And so that's one thing. Our bodies change dramatically and hormonally as well. There are a lot of hormones that, you know, a cocktail of hormones we're trying to negotiate as new moms. And, you know, it can cause a lot of different emotions to surface. So if that leads us into kind of the psychological transformation that happens, we've stepped into a new role as mothers. And we inherit what motherhood means in this day and age. And especially in American culture, you know, that's a whole new identity and role unto itself that we step into. And we don't even know it. And we're not even really schooled on it. It's just this invisible sort of role that all of a sudden we inhabit now. And that can be incredibly disorienting. So, you know, you have these emotions, you're trying to navigate really big feelings that are surfacing, a new role and identity that we're trying to integrate into our day-to-day lives. And physically, we're no longer that person that we were before we had a baby. And all of this is happening, and we don't often have language for it. It's just we're in survival mode, trying, you know, to get a shower in or to get a decent night's sleep. So I don't think these things are talked about enough ahead of time, and women aren't prepared enough going into pregnancy and birth and new motherhood in ways that adequately support this identity shift and potential crisis that can occur.
Right. And you know, one of the things that I hear, like one of the things that tends to be heard a lot about the postpartum period is that you end up losing yourself. Like moms feel, especially those who are having postpartum mood symptoms,
yes,
right? Not, you know, because it's a big gray area. I don't think you have to be diagnosed to be feeling these things of right. Losing yourself. Like I mm-hmm. feel like I've lost myself. How can new moms and new parents prepare yeah. and prevent getting to that point?
Yeah, great question. Well, first of all, I think moms lose themselves, and parents, dads too sometimes, is because I think, you know, first of all, women, just to provide some context here, I think women are really socially encouraged to put their needs and desires, others' needs and desires ahead of our own. So if that's our starting point, right, becoming a mother and having an infant, I think there's this real need, this genuine need at times, to put our baby's needs first, right? So, you know, baby's crying and hungry and maybe you just want to sleep in. Well, you know, there is a reality to having to put your needs aside to really show up for that infant initially. And I think what can happen for moms is we can get stuck in this mode of being where we're always putting our needs second, always putting our desires second to show up for our babies and children. And I think it's very important as moms to honor our needs and for also the larger collective holding to support moms in this transition so that we can start to find this balance of, you know, showing up for our children and showing up for our new babies and also taking care of the things that we need to take care of in ourselves. I think we can lose ourselves when we've all of a sudden just put ourselves, you know, aside for too long. I think we stop identifying who we are, what we need, what we like, And that becomes a real problem, because then we forget about ourselves and who we are, and that can make parenting very painful and you know, lead, but you know, eventually to depression and larger psychological issues. So to answer your question, like, how can we best support moms to avoid this, you know, losing ourselves? I think initially there is a little bit of a shift in losing who we thought we were or who we were at one point. And then this integration period of finding ourselves anew with these new skills and powers and aspects of ourselves as mothers. But to help mothers in that transition, I think it's really, really important to get that support. One thing that's a practical thing that moms can do with their partners, families, or community is to create a postpartum plan. I know lots of parents put a lot of thought and energy into creating birth plans, but it's also really important to create a postpartum plan. And this is a plan that can include, you know, plan around rest, plan around food, plan around, you know, when does mom get to shower? I mean, they seem like little things, but I think they're ways of supporting oneself that's not often thought about in the pregnancy phase, when we don't really truly get the nitty gritty of what it's like to be a new mom. And those really basic needs are so important, often get shelved in those early days. So planning around those essential basic needs for mom around food, rest, grounding practices, you know, whatever that is for each mother. Maybe it's, you know, just getting outside and getting some fresh air and taking a walk, or maybe it's a yoga practice or a meditation practice. Maybe it's reading a book or having a conversation with a trusted friend. But, you know, as a psychotherapist, I know whenever there's a big transition, life transition, it's really vital that people get to rest and have ground, just grounded practices in order to integrate that transition. And we know as new moms, we don't get a lot of time to luxuriate in that integration time, but it's really key. It's really key in trying to integrate this new identity with who we were before. And that's really important for our psychological well-being and just our overall happiness as a new mom.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So much so, because if you don't take the time to actually sort of take a step back and look at what you're going through and take the moment to, you know, be mindful about it and think like, what does this mean for me? You just, as you mentioned, you get swept away in the feeding every 2 to 3 hours and
yes,
24 hours a day for 6 to 8 weeks. Like that is, that's a
yeah,
really hard challenge. And I'm so happy you mentioned the postpartum plan, because not only am I a big believer of postpartum plans, yeah, I am such a big believer that's what I, like, if you sign up on my website, mm-hmm, that's what you get. I give you a free postpartum plan. So listeners, yeah, if you want to go do that, birthful.com, you'll get a plan there.
So important.
Yeah. And it is page by page, like considering your nutritional needs, considering your sleep.
Yeah.
Where are you going to sleep? How are you going to sleep? You know, are you going to divide and conquer? Will you take shifts? Yeah. Who's going to take care of the pets, of the diapers? Like, it does totally go into the minutiae.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. All of those details are so important to talk about ahead of time with your partner or family. It's, you know, we don't think about it before, but when you're in it, it's, you know, it's really about making or breaking your day or your moment, you know, whether or not you get that extra hour of sleep. It's so vital.
So, so vital. So yeah, I am such a big believer. And we're going to continue talking about this identity shift, but we have to take a little break. We'll be right back. Breastfeeding, it may be natural, but that sure does not mean it's easy. It's a learning process for both you and baby, and like most learning processes, it takes a lot of trial and error. However, this trial and error can sometimes come with a lot of crying, and not necessarily only from your baby. Help lessen the crying and frustration by arming yourself with some solid knowledge. A great way to prepare for this is by taking the Simply Breastfeeding online class created by breastfeeding experts Cindy and Jana. In their class, you'll learn to recognize what your baby is telling you and how to meet your baby's needs starting in the very first hour after birth. You'll also understand the basics of breastfeeding and be able to return to them if you encounter difficulties, and you'll feel confident knowing the answers to most frequently asked questions. Lessen your anxiety and frustration and relax knowing you've got this. Go to birthful.com/simplybreastfeeding to learn more. And as a Birthful listener, you get 15% off if you use the code Birthful when you register. Go to birthful.com/simplybreastfeeding or click the link on the show notes to get you on your way. And we're back talking about the identity shift or identity crisis that could happen when you, that usually happens when you become a parent. And so let's talk a little bit more about how in our cultural idea of motherhood, how usually you're expected to put your needs and desires in the back burner or put others' right. needs ahead of yours. So it can be that when you're feeling like, I don't want to be with my baby, like that give and take, then you get a whole set of, because you have this imposition of, but I should be this kind of mother, guilt comes along.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. That's a really great point. Because I think there are social pressures of how we should mother, you know, and the reality is it can look so many different ways and it's really pretty messy, you know, and there are a lot of conflicting feelings. It's a big adjustment period. Sometimes we love our baby. Sometimes we want to run away from our baby. And for most people, it's really difficult to hold these conflicting realities at the same time. And so, you know, a lot of moms might think there's something wrong. Like, you know, I should be happy. My baby's healthy. Why do I feel this way? It should feel different. You know, we do a lot of shoulding, right? Like we're shoulding ourselves into a reality. Like it should look a certain way and feel a certain way. And we're measuring it against these social, you know, representations that are just really limiting and inaccurate and unfair. These social messages of how mothers should feel and behave and all the, you know, just all of those ideas of how it should be. It's just a really painful setup for mothers to feel like they're failing when that's really not the case. It's just a really messy, emotional, complicated transition. And I think for mothers just to know that it's okay that it's not feeling quote unquote perfect. And that doesn't really exist anyway. And to have a lot of compassion for yourselves in this transformation, in this transition. Because that's going to help if we can kind of be kind and gentle to ourselves and to know that most mothers are going through a similar experience in that way of adjustment.
Absolutely. No, you need to like take the time to integrate and be gentle with yourself. And I love how you said that it's a messy period. Like, this is a transition. You're in flux. It's gonna be messy. You can't transition without it being messy and finding your new identity. So I think normalizing that and letting people know that, you know, just try to be open and have some grace with whatever it's happening.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's just always mess. Parenthood is a messy journey. It really is. And, you know, hopefully we learn and we learn from our mistakes and lessons. And I think it's, you know, parenthood is this, you know, it's a setup for failure. That's part of it. You know, we have to make mistakes to learn and to grow, right? I mean, part of what we talk about in Honest Mamas is we have so much permission for, you know, say our toddler or our new toddler who's just walking, right? And just learning how to walk, and they stumble and they fall and on their face sometimes. And we're not over top of them judging and criticizing them for it or saying that they should be doing a certain way. Like, there's this generous spirit of love and kindness and patience in them. And, you know, as new mothers and parents, if we can really allow ourselves to have that same type of compassion and kindness towards ourselves when we're messing up, because, you know, we're learning with every stage our child goes through developmentally, we're learning too, of how to meet our child and to find some balance in it all. So
yeah,
loads of compassion for this journey.
Yeah. Absolutely. And let's talk a little bit about the label of mother and mm-hmm. how, like, so up to the time you become a mother, that label is not yours. It is your mother, right? Mother was never you. It's your mom.
Good point.
Right? Yeah. And then suddenly it's yours and you have to figure out how you put on that suit.
Yes.
So that, like, my question is twofold. Like, what do you do with that? And also, mm-hmm. how do you bring that in and integrate it and connect it and not lose your other labels of, you know, a partner or an individual or a career person or, you know, a woman or even a sexy woman? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, fantastic. Fantastic question. Well, the first part of that I'll answer by saying I think it's so important for women who are planning to become pregnant or are pregnant to really do some exploration work around their own relationship to their mothers and even their own birth and how their mother experienced the birth, because some of those experiences can just get unconsciously passed down. So it's just really important to do a little psychological work to unpack, you know, how we understand a mother to be, you know, and if, like you said, a lot of that is often based on our own experience of our mothers before we become mothers, right? So, you know, just to ask yourself some questions, like do some loving research and exploratory work around what does a mother mean to me? You know, what do mothers, you know, what are mothers' self-care practices? What does it mean to be a mother? What is it, you know, mean to relate to a mother? Just some inquiry around how you hold that idea of mother in your mind and heart. And some people often get surprised by that inquiry. And often people realize that they've been holding these unconscious ideas around what a mother is, and it doesn't quite match with the type of mother that they want to be. So then that another exercise could be like, well, how do I want to show up as a mother, right? You ask yourself personally, you know, how do I want to mother my child? And what do I want that experience to look, feel like, and be about? So it's an interesting exercise to do just to kind of compare those different inquiries with one another. And also, you know, we do, when we become mothers, we don't only start to practice what we've inherited from our own mothers, but we start to parent in ways that we want to parent and the ways that we want to mother personally. Because, you know, although sometimes we get those moments of like, oh my gosh, I just said that. That's exactly like what my mother said, right?
So
many times, but we're also not our mothers, right? So there is that difference that's trying to come through. So, and I also want to add a third piece is that we also inherit this sort of collective understanding of what mother is, right? That's very specific to this day and age and culture. And that, you know, we also inherit baggage with that. So, you know, how mothers are structured politically in this society, and socially, and kind of the missing gaps of support at that political level, or the social level. You know, there's stuff we inherit that, you know, that isn't entirely well. Like there are some real gaps in those roles, and hopefully, you know, things will be changing and are changing in certain ways. But I think that was surprising to me too. It's like, oh, right. Like, you know, there's no paid maternity leave here in America, and it's certainly not adequate. So little things like that I think do make a difference to how we collectively hold the motherhood experience. So it can be incredibly complex. There are a lot of different threads of what it means to be a mother. So whether we're aware of it or not, we're trying to integrate all of that between diaper changes and on little sleep. And so to answer the second part of your question around how do we stay connected to these really, you know, beautiful parts of ourselves that aren't just a mother, right? Or aren't mothering only, you know, we're also, you know, we're also sisters and partners and friends, and we have relationships to ourselves. We have interests, we have desires. Maybe we had a career before baby, or maybe we're still trying to negotiate career with baby. So all these other dimensions of who we can be as women, you know, there, we go through growing pains around that. We sure do. And part of your question is, how do we stay connected to those places? You know, I think at first, to be compassionate and know that we might lose connection with some of those parts, and that's okay momentarily, and in time to trust that, you know, there will be a way that we can integrate those aspects of ourselves that still matter to us back into our day-to-day life. And I'm still learning even, you know, my daughter's 6. It's like, okay, well, how do I be a mom today? How do I be a wife today? How do I, you know, reclaim a new wave of my sexuality today? So it's always, I'm always in questioning mode with it. It's not a fixed or static thing.
Yeah. And I think that goes back to, you know, what you were saying of being a parent, being a messy situation, and how it just, having kids is messy. And I think it all starts that need, and, you know, sort of the uncertainty that comes with being pregnant, with birth, with having, like, before that, when you're just your individual with your partner, we tend to have very, in our westernized culture where we value individuality and having just, we have choices for everything, so we can get, you know, the shoes with the red polka dots in light green number 3. When we get to that level of controlling specificity, that sets us up to be really bad at dealing with uncertainty and going with the flow.
And
I feel like that is the basis of becoming a parent, because it's not like, you know, some things will return, some things you'll be able to get back to, like the gym.
Yes.
Things are gone forever, and you should, you know, do what you need to do to mourn that and move on, because otherwise you're just fighting the whole process.
Yeah, it's so true. Well, I think we do naturally let go of some things that don't serve us on the motherhood journey or the parenting journey. And I think you're correct. And, like, you know, we live in a highly individualistic society where, you know, it can be a lot of me, iPhones, and it's about the individual, right? And I don't think that, you know, this Western society really sets parents up, or in this case, when we're talking specifically about mothers, up for the very real characteristics and practices of being parents. I mean, I think about, you know, two key sort of postures required to be a parent. One is sacrifice and one is devotion. And I remember becoming a parent and very surprised about the level of sacrifice and devotion to this little being in front of me, and thinking like, wow, I haven't really been on a path in my life or felt really adequately supported by this society to really drop into sacrifice and devotion. I mean, and it's a tough transition when we haven't been in that mode of practicing those in this culture of this dominant culture, Western culture of practicing those things.
I'm going to interrupt you for a second because I want to dive deep into the sacrifice and devotion, because you just saying those words already in my body, I could feel it not feeling right in my body.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Right. Because it is such a, like, we're not sacrifice and devotion. What? So let's take a quick break and we'll come back to talk more about that. If you think your HEPA air filter is doing a good job of getting rid of the pollutants that are in the air in your home, please think again. HEPA filters use air purification technology that is super outdated. It was invented back in the 1940s. And the problem with it is that first, it only works on particles that are larger than 0.3 microns. And many harmful pollutants are much smaller than that. And second, the larger pollutants that are trapped by the HEPA filters are not destroyed. So they live on the surface of the filter where they can grow and then be re-released back into the air you breathe. If you really want clear air in your house, then you need the updated technology of a molecule air purifier, because Molecule introduces a breakthrough science that is finally capable of destroying air pollutants at a molecular level, including the volatile organic compounds, or VOCs, many of which are known carcinogens that concentrate in indoor air and negatively affect our health. Of course. So due to their weight, plenty of these harmful substances also hang out at floor level, which is right where babies, toddlers, kids, and pets spend much of their time. So improving your indoor air quality is important for your whole family, of course, but especially for those that spend a lot of time on the floor. Molecule's technology has been effective and verified by science, with research results showing dramatic, statistically significant, sustained symptom reduction within a week of use. But most importantly, it's been tested by real people. Molecule has already helped allergy and asthma sufferers around the U.S. better cope with their conditions and significantly reduce their symptoms. One customer even said that she was able to breathe through her nose for the first time in 15 years. Indoor air can be up to 5 times worse than outdoor air, and with all the time that we spend inside, even more during the winter months, it makes sense to do what you can to remove and destroy air pollutants. So go check it out. For $75 off your first order, visit MOLEKULE.com, so molecule.com, and enter the code BIRTHFUL at checkout. That's MOLEKULE.com, and use the code BIRTHFUL on checkout for $75 off your first order. All right, Sophie, we're back.
Yes.
Now, yes, I mean, this idea that parenting requires sacrifice and devotion, of course it does. If you're a parent, you know this.
Yes.
But I don't think that I don't think a lot of people, when they're thinking, oh, I'm going to have a baby and I'm going to be a mom and all these things, ever think, oh, I am going to sacrifice so many things and be devoted absolutely to this kid. Like that concept of I am, you know, we don't say vows to our child of like in sickness of in health if we got married to our partners. But we don't go like, we're going to sacrifice and devote to your little kid when we become a mom.
It's a great point.
Oh my goodness. Because if you, even though I do sacrifice and devote to my child, just the thought of having to sacrifice and devote to anything, just like my body automatically clenches up. Like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah, because I think there's this understanding that if we do that, that we lose ourselves. Mm-hmm. That somehow it's all about other, because I don't think in the dominant discourse we're really shown how to stay with self, honor self, and show up for other enough. Mm-hmm. And it's that to me is the core practice of parenting. Is how do I show up for myself? How do I honor myself? And how do I show up for this being in front of me? And to me, that seems like a spiritual practice. It really is. And I was not prepared for that coming in. I don't know if most people are prepared for that practice coming in. It certainly was not the way my parents did it, you know, and they're very loving people. But did they have this practice of how do they show up for themselves and also for me in this really balanced, healthy way? No, I don't think it's been modeled for us. And I think it's a really important way of showing up as parents. You know, how do I honor where I stand and what I need and also show up for this little being before me? And the devotion and sacrifice, the devotion is the love, right? Like I will continue to show up over and over again for this little being. That's that devotion. You're devoted to that child. And the sacrifice is, okay, there are going to be times where I put my need to the side, but how do we do that? How do we skillfully put that need to the side, but not abandon ourselves completely? Because I think that's coming back to the topic. I think that's where we lose ourselves. It's like, okay, well, it's this person's need or my need. Mm-hmm. I think that's the society that we've grown up in. That's that polarity, right? It's them versus me. Do they get their needs or do I get my needs met? And yeah. that's what we come to, I think, as parents, which is incredibly unfortunate and painful because it's not a healthy way to parent. It's not a healthy way to live. And inevitably someone loses themselves in it, right?
Right. Or there's resentment that comes up.
Exactly. There's resentment. So how do we show up to that moment of parenting our child where, okay, today is that day, or this is that moment where I do need to sacrifice that need, you know, I can't go to the movie with my girlfriend or something because my child is sick today and I need to be with them. Or I have to take a day off work or whatever it is. That's that sacrifice. But to do it in a way where we're not completely abandoning ourselves and sacrificing our entire identity, all of who we are, to be there for our children is also not, obviously not a service to ourselves, but also not a service to our child.
Mm. And I think it's hugely important, for the same reasons that you were saying just a few minutes ago about how mm-hmm. we have not culturally, this hasn't been modeled for us. Mm-hmm. I think it's only more recently that things are starting to be questioned on a broader spectrum, not just in specific, you know, society pockets of mm-hmm. this is not right. This is not working. We've got, you know, 1 in 7 or more parents are having some symptoms of postpartum mood disorders. Like the system's not supporting. We're finally getting to that end of the yes. rope, right? Where we're like, yes. no, this is just broken, messed up. This yes. system at every point. What do we do to change it? Right. And so by just taking that step back and going, I am going to introspect. I'm going to integrate. I am going to pay attention and choose and know that sometimes I'll make mistakes. Often I'll make mistakes, but mm-hmm. I'm going to pay attention, be mindful about what I'm doing because mm-hmm. I am also modeling it for my child.
Right.
That's going to start making some big changes.
I agree. I really do believe so. Yes. And, I think in that process, it can get messier. Mm. And in that process, you know, the more awareness we bring to it, it also can become fodder to like beat ourselves up about how, well, we're not quite getting it, you know? So I think extra compassion in this process, in this mindfulness, the more we become mindful of these ways in which, you know, we may be abandoning ourselves or we may be dropping our kids, like this dance, right? How can we get that we've inherited something that's really messy and wasn't adequately modeled for us?
Yeah.
And how do we have a lot of compassion for ourselves in, you know, writing that balance and doing better for the next generation? I mean, I'm not sure. I'm sure there could be cultures around the world that do this differently, but what I do know, you know, having lived in America and growing up in North American culture, is that it's been broken. It's been a broken system. And I think the way, excuse me, we hold, mothers in this society, the dominant society, there's a devaluing of mothers that happen collectively that is incredibly painful. And I think that's seen at that political level where we're not giving adequate time or resources to mothers in these times of transition. And I think if that was held at a larger level, that would trickle down and really communicate to women that, you know what, this is a difficult time. Mm. And we want to support you at a political government level. We care. And we're going to provide resources during this time of transition. So it doesn't have to be put on mothers alone, that responsibility, like another thing to get, another thing to master, another thing on the things to do list to get perfect. There really needs to be this call to action for the larger collective at all these different socio-political levels to step up and really start taking better care of mothers and parents.
Yeah, and what a hit to your identity in this shift, that not only are, you know, the message that you're getting socially, culturally, politically, is that as you step into this role, your identity shifts to a devalued state.
Yes, yes, exactly, exactly. And the psychological challenges of that, you know, it's, you know, there isn't enough support at that meta level. And then all these incredibly difficult feelings and emotions to navigate, like internally, you know, I mean, you know, you could have been a very independent, career focused woman before you got pregnant and have this child. And, you know, and this idea of being independent, right? I mean, when you have a baby, this whole concept of dependency comes crashing down on you, right? So another tricky thing to negotiate in terms of identity is, you know, have a dominant culture that really supports independence. You have a life that really practices independence. And then all of a sudden, you have this little being that's incredibly dependent on you, and all these feelings internally of needing to depend on community, family, and even a larger political system. There's this need for dependence on that. And that's completely healthy. I think completely okay. But I think this is where we fail women. Right? We don't, and fail mothers specifically. We don't really get how much support moms need. And so instead of going, okay, I'm feeling all of this like dependency stuff, which is tough for me to negotiate personally, and I turn around to see my community, family, and larger society holding for this dependence, and there are drops in the system. And that's where women falter and feel unsupported and then start to blame themselves for that.
Yeah.
Like, I must be doing something wrong.
Yeah,
this, I'm inadequate. This is about me. I'm inadequate.
Yeah. Because what do we do with all those feels?
Oof, well, you know what? It's so important to let them come, because any transformation or change in a larger collective or paradigm shift that I've witnessed is initiated by people that are getting pissed off, upset, and saying, this is not right. Something needs to shift here. So, you know, to let your upset come, to let your anger come, to have compassion for yourselves, to know that there's something larger happening here that isn't just about you being, quote unquote, a bad mom or not getting it, you know? So to sit with some of those feelings and to find a trusted friend, a counselor, talk to a family member about what's going on, join communities. There are so many fantastic communities now, whether it's online or in your community of like-minded women that, you know, I mean, sometimes this can happen in moms groups, but my experience is with some moms groups, things can stay a little on the surface, but really find those community of moms that are willing to have those harder conversations and that welcome the grittiness and the messiness and some of those harder feelings around the motherhood journey, and that make space for, you know, feeling like you want to cry like a lot, or you feel these upswells of rage and you don't know where it's coming from. Just to find trusted people and friends to connect with and other mothers is really key. And again, lots of compassion for yourself, because this is, you know, this is also a bigger problem that we're hopefully going to change soon. And to do a lot of breathing and grounding as these big, intense emotions start to come through.
Yeah.
Because it's a physical thing too, right? They're the hormones. But, you know, don't listen to anyone who says it's just hormonal.
No.
Because there are some major issues here that you're feeling as a new mom that are about these bigger structures that are broken.
Yeah. And it's like all is happening to you at the same time, because you know, like we mentioned in the beginning, you've got a kid who's dependent on you 24/7. You don't get a break. It's like a torturous boot camp that
boot camp. Yes.
Oh my gosh. And then, you know, and at the same time, your body's recovering from being pregnant for 9 months, for 40 plus weeks.
Absolutely. And this is not even to mention if there's been trauma in the birth or complications or, you know, so yeah, physical recovery, even if some women have had a cesarean birth, you know, that's major abdominal surgery women are recovering from. So, yeah, there are just a lot of factors that can potentially go into this transition time that can seriously rock an identity.
So, yeah. I want to officially tear down the concept of the superwoman that can do it all and have it all, because that is a trap that is letting us all down. Mm-hmm. So if you're out there listening and you think, oh, I'll just do this and, you know, I have my super career and I'll have a baby and everything. No. So do yourself a favor and let go of that idea.
Yeah. Oh, amen to that. Yeah. And I gladly join with you to just tear down that concept of superwoman. You know, 'cause I'm all about, mothers living their most empowered and expressed life, but I think that's very different than feeling like you've got to do it all and be it all. And I think there's an incredible social pressure and an unrealistic standard that women should do it all. And it's a painful, painful setup for burnout in moms. And this messaging, you know, sent to mothers, they can have it all, and that somehow that's the new standard for a mom, that they should be doing it all. And if they're not, that somehow they're failing. And my experience for this, like, social pressure in myself and what I see in friends and colleagues is that there's this frantic race to have, to be, to do more. And that's not necessarily better or fulfilling. And it doesn't equate to more fulfillment. I think it equates to more suffering. And I think the reality is it leads to burnout. And my experience of witnessing, you know, this type of super mom mentality is that there's often a deep, deep insecurity and fear that drives this race and messaging. And I felt it in myself, and I see it in other mothers, that really at the core of it is an insecurity, you know?
Yeah, and then because we're being judged and we got the mommy wars going on, and we have society telling us all these things in a time where we're most vulnerable and figuring out all these things and shifting and not knowing who we are and lacking the confidence and, like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's incredibly overwhelming. It's like this setup and this message to be absolutely perfect, when the reality is there's so much wrong and broken with the system. And so put those things together. I mean, no wonder postpartum happens, you know,
postpartum mood disorders.
Yeah. Postpartum mood disorder. Sorry. Happens. Like, I mean, depression, it's no wonder. It's a recipe for it, I believe.
Yeah. Can we also talk about this, another concept that is the just what you were talking about triggered in my brain, is this mm-hmm. idea of the fantasy that we create mm-hmm. in our minds of what the mother we're going to be and the baby we're going to have and the life we're going to lead. And mm-hmm. what happens when that matches, you know, when you actually have the baby and have mm-hmm. are in those first few weeks and months of motherhood, and how that reality does not match up with your fantasy.
Yeah, that's a really great point. I think there is an adjustment period because we all dream, right? We all have ideas of how something's going to be, and motherhood's obviously no different. Like, and depending on your path to being a mother too, some people struggle with fertility issues, or some people choose a path of adoption, or, you know, there's so many ways of becoming a mother, and we all have this idea of what it's going to be like on the other side. And understandably, right, we're maybe dreaming for this experience of being a mother. And then when we get there and we arrive there, you know, the reality doesn't measure up to the fantasy. And there's inevitably an adjustment period that happens during that time. And I think for a lot of women, it can bring up grief. And I think that's totally natural and normal. In any time we have an expectation or an idea of how something's going to be, and then how it's actually met with reality, you know, we can grieve that fantasy or that idea of how it should be, or we thought it should be. And so just to be gentle with yourselves, to have a lot of compassion for that adjustment period. It may take a few weeks, it may take months, it may take years. Just to really be kind with and allow yourself to have those moments of what you did dream or fantasize about, to find new versions of it in the reality before you, and to let all your feelings get a place at the table to be there as you transition into what is actually real before you.
Mm. So much.
Yeah.
Because it is so hard. It is so hard to like just accept what you're going through mm-hmm. and not the idea, like, and step into that instead of fighting it and try mm-hmm. to figure out how to live it and then, you know, improve it if there's things you don't like about it.
Right. Yeah. And to know that you have agency in it, that, you know, it might not measure up, but this isn't a reality necessarily that you just have to live with it in a victim way, like end of story, but that how to find your agency in creating something that you are really fulfilled by with, you know, what you're given and what the reality looks like.
Yeah.
To work with it.
Yeah. Sophie, one last question. How can this identity shift affect mm-hmm. your relationship? Because this isn't happening in a vacuum. Mm-hmm. It's not just you. Usually, you have a partner that's in here this with you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such an important topic and a really important thing to discuss with your partner, because that transition from 2 to 3, it's really one of the most profound challenges a couple will ever face, I think, is letting their relationship grow to that, you know, number 3, because, you know, you have less time, you have less communication, you're on less sleep, you know, possibly less money or freedom, and less time to really cultivate the relationship that you have, and less privacy. And I think all of these things can be really taxing on a relationship. And especially when I think, you know, in this day and age, North American parents feel, you know, they're bombarded with information. I think they're very overworked and potentially overwhelmed. That, you know, it really takes time. It takes time to adjust to these new roles and these new identities in your family, and to welcome in this little baby, you know, and to find what the family, how the family rhythm is, and what it feels like to be this family of 3. And it does take time. It can take weeks and months and sometimes years just to find your bearings again. And you know, parenthood in general, it's this real emphasis on routine, predictability, and regularity, which initially can be a bit of an intimacy killer with parents, right? That kind of routine, predictability, and regularity doesn't necessarily set couples up for that sparkly romantic connection. So just to be, again, kind and gentle with that transition, to try to have as much communication with your partner as possible about some of the struggles or challenges that might be coming up. And also becoming new parents or first-time parents, I think it can bring up a lot of emotional triggers in a relationship, because, you know, both partners have a way of an understanding of what it means to be a mom and what it means to be a dad. And again, that might not be an accurate match with how your partner is showing up. So I think that can stir up potential feelings and triggers from the past, or even your own experience in your family of origin. So again, just a lot of different challenges to navigate with your partner. And it can also be a time of incredible celebration and beauty and bonding with a partner as well.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And we don't want to be like, hey, your identity shift, check it out. You're screwed right. now. You're a parent. Right. Welcome.
Right.
Welcome to eternal sacrifice and devotion.
Yeah.
Right? But right. I think the more you even know that this is going to happen, then you can prepare mm-hmm. for it, be ready, and join up as a team with your partner
yes.
to
yes.
move forward through what you're going through. And, you know, like really make it so that it brings you closer together.
Right. It's the whole information is power. I think
yes.
that's the point of the podcast episode here, is that we just want to give a lot of information and give people the heads up, because, you know, I think we were both moms. We're like, why didn't anyone tell us, you know?
Right.
And so I think, to me, this is an answer to that call, right?
Yeah. We want you to know. So mm-hmm. that you know that, A, it's normal, B, you'll survive it, and C, here are a few things you can do to make it a little easier.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Oh, so good talking to you, Sophie. What other resources or books or anything that comes to mind as if people want to dig deeper into this topic?
Yeah, great question. Well, I'll definitely let you know of some books, and then you can maybe add those to your episode notes. Yeah, your show notes. But, you know, the main thing I would say is to find community. I think we get really locked into trying to do this on our own, and even going online and doing the research. I mean, it's so important to connect with other moms. It's so important to find those pockets of communities in your towns and where you live, just to reach out. I think it does make the transition a lot smoother.
Mm-hmm. And if people want to follow what you do, connect with you and learn more, how can they do that?
Yeah, I'd be happy to share that information. So our website is www.honestmamas.com, and you can go there and check out our podcast. We also have an online e-course that supports moms at any point in their motherhood journey, but specifically and in particular during the initial days of that transition.
Fantastic. Sophie, thank you so, so much for being here today.
Oh, such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Mighty Ones, find the in-depth show notes for this episode at birthful.com, where you can also learn more about me, the show, send me messages, and more. I'm also on Facebook or Twitter as @birthful, so come say hi. And if you want to grab the companion mini worksheet that I created for this episode, then go to patreon.com/birthful to learn more and become an official Birthful supporter. That's patreon.com, so patreon.com/birthful. And a big, enormous, and very heartfelt thank you to all the Birthful patrons that have shown their support during these past 2 years. I so appreciate you coming with me on this experiment. Everyone else, come join us. This episode was produced by me and made possible by you, those amazing Birthful Patreon supporters, and by the wonderful people at Simply Breastfeeding and Molecule. Go to birthful.com/simplybreastfeeding and use the code BIRTHFUL for 15% off, and visit molecule.com and enter BIRTHFUL at checkout for $75 off your first order. The title song for this podcast is Vive Ace by Kevin MacLeod, and the sponsorship song is Air Hockey Saloon by Chris Zabriskie. Find them both at freemusicarchive.org. Also, the Birthful podcast is part of the Parents on Demand Network, a network of podcasts focused on parents. Download the free Parents on Demand app on Apple and Android for easy on-the-go listening. I'm Adriana Losada. Please join me next week when I'll be talking to a mighty parent as they share their amazing story here at the Birthful podcast. Thanks so very much for listening. This episode is copyright 2019 by Adriana Lozada.